The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to the people, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The people then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. Today's Gospel continues this sixth chapter of St. John, which the Church has broken down for us because it would be far too long to read on one single Sunday and explain in a way that would be useful for us. So the Church has broken it down over several weeks. Now, in the first part of the Gospel, the first of these four sections, our Lord has performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and two fish. And the people, when they realize that this miracle has happened, are eager to acclaim him as king. If he can feed us in this way, then he can take away all of our sorrows. He can take away all of our poverty. He can free us from our labor. He can free us from the Romans. So they want to make him king. And Jesus flees from them. He disappears because that's not the type of kingship that belongs to him. When the people come to him, he confronts them and says, You're here because of what you've eaten. But you should be concerned about bread for everlasting life. And then he says to them, I am bread. I am the bread of life. I am the bread that has come down from heaven. And the people immediately become confused and they start to reject him. Not because he has said, I am the bread of life. They can use that, understand that as a metaphor. I'm what you really need. I'm more important than ordinary food. I'm what is necessary for every one of you. That part doesn't disturb them. That claim is not the problem. What is the problem is that he claims to have come down from heaven. I am the living bread come down from heaven. And that expresses a relationship between Jesus and God the Father. And for the Jews, no one, no human could approach God or come from God. They said to one another and to Jesus, We know your parents. We knew Mary and Joseph at Nazareth. What are you saying? So they disbelieve in him. And belief in Jesus is the necessary foundation, the first step for what he's going to say next. So if you reject Christ, if you reject who he claims to be, what follows has no meaning. So some of the people remain, and they are listening. And our Lord goes on to teach, and that's where today's gospel begins. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. So he's speaking about himself now, not just spiritually, I'm what you need, but I am what you need, I am bread, and you must eat of me. This is how I will communicate life to you. And the people begin to argue among themselves and question this. And so they say, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, before we go on, we have to ask, we have to understand, you have to understand, that at the time of Christ, the expression to eat a man's flesh didn't mean anything positive. It first of all meant to be overtaken, to overtake someone in battle and kill them. And from that meaning came a second meaning, that to eat a man's flesh meant to scorn him, to despise him, to crush him with words. We have the same expression. To chew somebody up and spit them out. So certainly that isn't what Jesus is saying that his believers, his followers, need to do about him. So the people were confused. And the second phrase, which he will use in a moment, refers to drinking his blood. Well, again, for the ancient Jews, drinking blood was abhorrent. It was something that was done among certain pagan and satanic cults. They would drink the blood of their victims. So the Jews were forbidden even to cook with blood. Blood was the sign of life. So to drink blood meant to end someone's life. So here is Jesus speaking in this way. And of course, they are confused. Now, at this point, Jesus could do one of two things. He could say, I'm speaking symbolically. I'm speaking metaphorically. I am bread, but you can see I'm not made up of grain or flour. And so, don't take me literally. That's not what he does. He intensifies his words. Up until now, the word in the Greek New Testament that Jesus has been using for eating is the verb phagon, or phagon, ancient Greek. But now Jesus uses a different verb, trogon. And trogon means chew, gnaw. It's a very literal and intense word. And it can't be taken symbolically. Truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And then he uses that same intense verb about chewing four more times. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. So Jesus is using the most literal language possible and placing this as a challenge before all of his hearers and us. And this is the heart, if you will, of Catholic doctrine about the Eucharist. He is really, literally present. Now, Let's ask ourselves first, why? Why is he doing this? Why is he offering this gift? If this is the gift he's offering, why? It has to be because you and I require it. You and I need it. He's used the image of food. You're happy to eat bread and fish because I gave it to you? I'm the real stuff. I'm the real bread. You need me more than you need ordinary food. You need my life. Because only my life, sharing in my life, can give you everlasting life. I'm the only one who can get you out of this world alive. I'm the only one who can get you to eternity and have you share in it. You need me. Why can he say this and demand our faith? Because we've seen what he's done before. You and I have seen not only the Gospels, the cross, the resurrection, but 2,000 years of church history. 2,000 years of saints and sinners. And the saints have always outweighed the sinners. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We know what he has been and what he has offered and how he has kept his promises in our own lives. That's the foundation for our act of faith. We need him. And what God gives us is what is best, because he is all good and all deserving of our love. So just as we need food every day to survive and thrive, so we need Christ. And the interesting thing is that the second verb, trogon, the verb that signifies chewing, also came to mean, at the time of Jesus, eating for a long period of time and eating a wonderful meal. Not something that you nosh on, but something that you delight in. So Christ is saying, you must eat of my flesh over the course of your whole lifetime. And this will be the great banquet. This will be a meal of delight. And you will have life. The manna that your ancestors ate, which you think was so great and glorious, is only a shadow of what I'm giving you. Now, if Jesus is speaking literally, which we believe, how are we supposed to understand that? Well, he wasn't speaking with crass literalism. He didn't expect people to come up and start gnawing on an arm. He is speaking with what we call sanctified or sacramental literalism. What's the difference between what Jesus is saying and cannibalism? Well, if you're dealing with cannibalism, you either eat a person to death or you eat a person who's already dead. When we receive Christ, because he is God, he comes to each one of us individually, completely, and fully, and perfectly. We receive him as he is in heaven now, glorious, living at the right hand of the Father. We don't kill him, and we don't eat dead flesh. We come into union, each of us, with the living God made man through the incarnation. And everything that is human about Christ, his body, his blood, his soul, comes into contact with everything that is human about us, our bodies, our blood, our souls, so that we be sanctified. But because he is a divine person, he comes to us in his divinity, not just to make us better human beings, but to share his divine life with us, to divinize us, to lift us up, to transform us. That's the purpose of the Eucharist. And it's an ongoing process. Many good Catholics don't understand this. Polls in recent years have shown that only about 30% of Catholics in North America understand, have a working knowledge of what I've just told you. And the rest of us, the 30% that do know, don't appreciate it the way we ought. Because if we did, our churches would be jammed. So this teaching lays down a challenge to us. Well, what are we supposed to do about it? Today, before I finish this series next Sunday. Well, we speak to our Lord with what we have in hand, in mind, right now. Lord Jesus, I don't understand fully this gift of yourself as the Eucharist. I don't understand how you can do this. But I think I understand why. Because you are all good, you are all loving, and you've shown me in all the human deeds that I can read in the gospel how loving you are and how generous you are. So I believe that you want to make this so, and that you can make this so. And that coming to me through this sacrament, in which I don't see you as you were on earth, I don't feel you in a human body, I can't sense you in that way. Nonetheless, you can do what you say you can do. And so I want to receive you as openly and sincerely and completely as I can, so that you can do in me what you want to do in me, so that you can make me the man or woman that I'm supposed to be, so that I can love you with all my heart and love my family and those that I'm responsible for in the best possible way, and in the way that can draw them to you. I want to receive you more, better, more deeply, more profoundly than I have before, and take this understanding that I have today and work with it. I don't have the time to read books. Or perhaps better, I don't have the time to read religious books. I'm too busy with the internet. But I want to understand better. And I want to live the way you want me to live. That's how we pray. That's how we begin. And slowly, step by step, when we work with the faith that we have, faith takes us to understanding. And we become changed into Christ. That's why he uses food as the image, as the vehicle. We assimilate food. We change it into ourselves. Some of us do it much better than others. We assimilate it. But when we receive communion, we are changed into Christ. We are assimilated into his body. We become better Catholic Christians. And we become better connected to all the other members of the body who are sitting around us and who are out in the world. So the process continues as long as we don't thwart it, as long as we don't block it. And blocks and obstacles can be removed through our free will and Christ's forgiving love. So this is the meaning of today's gospel. And this is the beginning, the foundation, for our prayer that we bring into this Mass, so that we can love a little more than the last time we were here. And so that when we leave this church building this morning, we take Christ with us, and we can live more abundantly than we have before. His joy, his happiness, is to be with us, strange as that may seem. We must learn to make our joy to be with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.